Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, a warning that this next report contains some details that some listeners in younger ears may find distressing. Survivors of the Oma bombing have been continuing to give evidence of the enduring physical and psychological injuries that have affected their lives in the 26 years since the atrocity. They were speaking at the public inquiry into the bombing, which was set up by the British government to examine whether it could have been prevented. And our reporter Una Kelly was at that inquiry. Una, can you tell us, who did we hear from today?
Suzanne Travis, she was a 20-year-old student at the time. She'd just finished her first year of a teaching degree at Liverpool University. She was home for the summer and she was in town shopping with her mother that afternoon. Like many others, Suzanne described how it was such a beautiful day with a good atmosphere in the town. There was due to be a carnival parade that afternoon. And like many others as well, she said they thought nothing of the bomb scare as everyone was so used to it and it usually came to nothing. She said that now they know that when they were evacuated, they were standing just meters from the car with the bomb in it. When it went off, she said in the aftermath, it was horrifying to recall the mayhem and carnage. She never lost consciousness during it. She said the sights and sounds remain as raw today as the day of the bomb. She described it as being like a dull bang because her hearing had been affected and then her entire body felt pressure. She felt like her face was being squashed and she was forced downwards. She described an eerie silence and then the sounds of screams and alarms coming and then the panic and chaos. She said she saw her mother a distance away. She had been blown up into the air. Suzanne said at that point she was not experiencing any pain, but she was aware of a bleeding head wound. She then saw a friend of hers. The friend shouted at her and then ran away to get some help. Suzanne then told of how she discovered the extent of her injuries. She was being led through her evidence by lawyer to the inquiry, Paul Greeney.
But it was at that point then when she ran away and she said, I'll be back, that I realised, I looked down and my two legs were in front of me and I realised that I didn't have my left foot.
And the very stark and powerful way in which you express that in your witness statement, paragraph 14, is I looked down and realised that I had lost my foot. It had been completely blown off.
A man in a car then pulled up beside Suzanne, put her in it and took her to Oma Hospital. She said at this stage she still didn't know where her mother was and she was then transferred to hospital in Derry. There she had to have her leg below the knee amputated. Suzanne recalled when her brother pulled back the curtain of the cubicle she was in hospital, he vomited at the sight of her. Suzanne's mother, meanwhile, had been airlifted to hospital in Derry and was in a coma. When she woke up a week later, Suzanne went down in a wheelchair to see her and she had to tell her about the deaths of some people they knew. Suzanne was then fitted with a prosthetic leg, which she said was horrendously painful and a difficult process. She said that her 16-year-old brother had to then become her carer for a while. Despite all of this, Suzanne did begin her second year of her teaching degree at Liverpool University. The university gave her a laptop and her friends posted her their lecture notes. She even did her teaching practice in Oma in the summer of 1999 and graduated along with the class that she started her degree with. Straight afterwards, she got a job in a primary school in Liverpool where she still teaches to this day and she's since married and had two children. But she said as she's gotten older, her pain has become worse. She has PTSD. She still has to go to the hospital at least once a month. In a couple of weeks' time, Suzanne will have yet another operation to remove shrapnel from her leg. Here's Suzanne at the conclusion of her evidence to the inquiry today.
Little did I know that a lovely sunny day in Oma all those years ago would turn into the worst day of our lives and would result in my mother and I living with lifelong disabilities. The men who carried out this atrocity drove away that day and left behind carnage, devastation, and suffering. They didn't care. They ruined many, many lives, mine included, and for what? I will never forgive them for the cowardly, wicked act that took so much away from my family and I.
And that is Suzanne Travis there, who survived the Omagh bombing. And in evidence from other survivors today, we heard about how the tight-knit community of Omagh was really changed forever, Una.
Yes, Jim Sharkey described this. He was a news agent. He talked about how Market Street had been a great place to work in. He said all the traders there were friends, all denominations, it didn't matter. And he described how he had met Geraldine Breslin and Anne McComb on the street after they'd been evacuated. Sean McGrath and Libby Rush had come into his shop that afternoon. All four of them died as a result of the bomb. He also said he met Kevin Skelton in the aftermath of the bomb. We heard from Kevin earlier this week. He was looking for his wife, Mina. Jim Sharkey said, "I'll never forget the look on that man's face. I'll never forget it." Jim himself was treated for cuts and an injury to his arm. He described how there was confusion in Omagh in the days afterwards about who was dead and who was not. He said there was a haze of wakes and funerals in the week after. He said that Omagh was quiet and was never the same afterwards. He was referred for counselling, but he said he still has nightmares and he avoids the Omagh town centre on Saturday afternoons anytime around 10 past three. That's the time the bomb went off. He gave up his news agent business and he said his mind at times had gone to dark places. He said he has never been the same guy.
And the inquiry chairman, Lord Turnbull, concluded today's hearings by remarking on the psychological injuries to survivors.
Yes, he said the inquiry is becoming increasingly aware of the devastating and enduring mental health issues which have burdened those who survived. And he said the inquiry will give much thought to it in the weeks and months ahead. David McSwiggan this morning gave a clear account of the lasting mental impact. He survived the bomb with little physical injury, but the mental injuries following what he saw and experienced that day have reverberated down through the last 26 years. He suffered flashbacks, insomnia, emotional outbursts, and he says it destroyed his relationships, his work, and his ability to work as a visual artist. He said he struggled to access proper long-term mental health care, and he wanted to speak about this so there would be a better understanding of the lasting impact of trauma. We also heard today from Lisa McGonigal. She had been helping to organise a carnival parade in the town that afternoon. She believes that many young children would have died in the explosion had the event not been delayed. It was late because traffic in the town was at a standstill due to the bomb scare. She said a short time after the explosion, she saw a police Land Rover with legs lying out the back. She went to hospital to check if any of the children she had been working with in the carnival were there. She said she saw many people being carried in on doors used as stretchers. She said, "I think unfortunately all of them were dead." We also heard today from Margaret Murphy, an off-duty nurse who went to Omagh Hospital to help that day. She said at the end of the shift, she realised the magnitude of what had happened and remembers crying and hugging another nurse whose mother was injured. And Nicola Donnelly said she was blown through the window of a shop and that she sat in Omagh Hospital and saw people wrapped in sheets starting to come in. She was transferred to hospital in Enniskillen and said she lay on a stretcher for a long time before being taken to surgery to have shrapnel, stone and glass removed. She had to learn to walk again. She said she's in pain every day, which has gotten worse as the years have gone on, and her mental health has suffered. The inquiry will continue to hear evidence from survivors and first responders on Monday.
Una Kelly, thank you very much. And if you've been affected by anything that you've heard there, help is available. You go to rte.ie/helplines.